From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Kearns with you to continue to Let the Bible Speak from the second chapter of John's Gospel, starting today at verse 12, on the subject of Christ cleansing the temple and all that that signifies. Now, this is going to be a large subject. It will take us a couple of weeks in the will of the Lord to get through it. It's an important subject, Christ cleansing the temple and the significance of that event for us from the life of Christ as we live and serve Him today. So stay with us as we look into the Word of God together. First, however, we have our hot topic for the day. It comes from the United Kingdom. Britain sells out to the sodomite lobby. Tony Blair's socialist government has run into unexpected levels of difficulty in selling its latest pro-homosexual legislation. The proposal that adoption agencies must place children with homosexual couples has drawn a strong negative from church-based agencies. These agencies cannot in good conscience go along with the government's program. However, Blair and company are determined to force their perverted views on the nation and seem to be willing to deny or trample on the civil and religious rights of any who stand in their way. In the cause of tolerance of sodomites, they are utterly intolerant of anything that even approaches traditional or Christian morality. It's scandalous enough that from April, the government will take children from state-run agencies and place them with practicing sodomites. It's utterly unconscionable to force church-based agencies to do the same. But that's precisely what the British government is set on doing. The British Home Secretary, John Reid, who's a Roman Catholic, has rejected even the objections of his own church, as well as those from the state church, the Church of England. The adoption agencies of these denominations place thousands of children in adoptive homes, and they have threatened that they would have to close down if forced to place any of them in homosexual homes. Reid dismissed their concerns and stated bluntly that people's conscientious objections, even those based on their religious faith, are not grounds to opt out of the government scheme. Now the Prime Minister, whose cabinet was split on the issue, has reiterated Reid's denial of the rights of church-based adoption agencies to place children in accordance with their beliefs, announcing a sensible compromise by which he would give the objectors 21 months to buckle to the government's dictate. Blair said, "There is no place in our society for discrimination. That's why I support the right of gay couples to apply to adopt like any other couple. And that way there can be no exemptions for faith-based adoption agencies offering publicly funded services from regulations that prevent discrimination." There's a big lie here, and Blair knows it. This entire policy is one of blatant discrimination. It's a policy of affirmative action on behalf of sodomites who want their perverted unions to be regarded and treated as the moral equivalent of a traditional marriage. And it's a policy of deliberate assault on the rights of churches to conduct their business on the basis of their long-held beliefs. This action is just the beginning of a long war. If the British government can get away with demanding that churches must place adoptive children with practicing sodomites, They'll feel that there's nothing to keep them from forcing churches to allow sodomites into church membership or into the ministry. It'll not be long before government policy will make it illegal for a church to discipline a member for the practice of sodomy. Blair's compromise is not a compromise, but an invitation to commit suicide. It's time for churches and for Christians to stand up to the bullying tactics of politicians. If they don't do it soon, it will be too late to do it at all.
Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee, hiding in thee, hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the conflict, when pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often, when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul, hiding in thee, hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. In our latest issue of the LTBS Quarterly Magazine, we're dealing with the book of Psalms primarily. There are other things that will be of great interest to you, but we're dealing with a study of the Psalms. One of the great problems Christians have in reading the Old Testament is finding Christ in the Old Testament. Here you'll find a very informative article on the Psalms and the Savior. We invite you to write or call for your free copy of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at LTBS@freepres.org, or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We'd like to hear from you.
Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near. praise him in glad adoration. Praise ye the Lord, for let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again. Gladly for a we adore him.
John chapter 2. Continuing to look at the life of Christ, we come to John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 12, reading through to the end of verse 22. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Now let's bow together in prayer. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee that we serve the same Christ as the Christ who went into the temple to cleanse it. And as we now turn to the word of God, we would pray for the glorious presence of the Lord Jesus, and for the active power of Christ to grant a mighty cleansing to the temple of God, the house of God, the dwelling of the Spirit, even thy people. And, O Lord, we would pray today that what we see in the Word of God may speak to every heart and may glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank thee that we have the promise of the Savior, that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there will he be in the midst of them. We would stand into this promise this morning. We would also take the promise of thy word, that thou dost give the Holy Ghost to those who ask, and to those who obey thee. And so, Lord, deliberately today, we would cast aside all reliance on flesh, and we would pray for the power and the ministry of the Spirit of God with reviving effect as we look into the Word. Fill this preacher with the Holy Ghost. Fill these hearers that they may listen and attend and respond to the Word of God. Lord, by thy sovereign Spirit, come and rightly divide the word of truth, giving to each his portion according as thou dost see the need of the heart.
We pray in Jesus' name and through the merits of His precious blood. Amen. The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple in Jerusalem fulfilled either partially or entirely some very significant promises and prophecies of the Old Testament. You should understand, of course, that this was not Solomon's temple that had long since been reduced to rubble as Nebuchadnezzar's armies wrecked it. This was what was called the Second Temple, the temple raised by Zerubbabel after the return of the people of Judah from their Babylonian exile. In many ways, the Second Temple was a very poor replacement for Solomon's building. Solomon's temple, as the Scripture says, in the authorized version's phrase that we should, I think, always be able easily to remember, it was exceeding magnifical. The very strangeness of the word magnifical should fasten it upon our hearts. It's a beautiful building. So that when the Second Temple was built, those who were there to see its dedication were moved by a mixture of delight and depression or distress. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 3, we read, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes, in comparison of it, as nothing?" That was the distress. Look what we have lost. And however important it is for us to have Zerubbabel's temple, it is so mean in appearance by comparison. But a few verses later, in verse 9 of Haggai chapter 2, the promise is given, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former." I have no doubt that to the gathered Jews, that seemed an almost incomprehensible statement, but the Lord meant every word of it. Years later, Herod spent about half a century refurbishing, rebuilding, and beautifying the temple. But all that Herod could do to Zerubbabel's temple could not and did not fulfill Haggai's prophecy. Indeed, had Herod been able to double all the gold that Solomon had lavished on the original temple, it still would not have been able to fulfill Haggai's prophecy. For he was speaking about more than gold. He was speaking about more than external appearance. The glory that he had in mind could only be fulfilled as the God of glory himself once again visited the temple. With the destruction of Solomon's temple, there went that mysterious and amazing presence called the Shekinah glory. You remember when Solomon built the temple, so intense was the glory that the very priests of God could not stand to minister. And constantly over the temple and in the temple, beyond the veil, there was this magnificent glory of God manifested. But the promise is, there is a greater glory than that which heretofore has been manifested first in Moses' day in the tabernacle, now in Solomon's day in the temple. That is the prophecy that was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, when the God of glory, God incarnate, of whom chapter 1 in John says, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the promise at least began to be fulfilled. When the God of all glory, the Son of God Himself, stood in the temple in Jerusalem at the beginning of His public ministry. The prophet Malachi spoke and prophesied concerning His coming to His temple. Foretelling that coming, he said, behold, Malachi 3, the opening verses, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to His temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord Jesus, at the very beginning of His public ministry, in the very first opportunity with the coming of the first Passover, since His entrance into the public ministry as the Messiah, the Lord Jesus went into the temple, and so came to pass, at least partially. I say that, at least to begin with, there's a whole lot more to follow. The Lord Jesus came, stood in His temple. But in foretelling that, Malachi had words of warning to the Jews. He said, you delight in this messenger of the covenant. The Jews at this time, actually the time of Christ, were at fever pitch as they considered the possibility of the Messiah. He said, you delight in this messenger of the covenant. You are seeking for the Lord to come to His temple. But who may abide the day of His coming? Who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and He shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver. Now John the Baptist was the messenger sent before the Lord's face, whom Malachi prophesied. And when he arrived on the scene, he said something very similar concerning the coming Messiah. He said, His fan is in His hand. He will thoroughly purge His floor. That was the prophecy. Identical in sense to that of Malachi. Now let me say right away what I've indicated somewhat already, that these prophecies are not exhausted by Christ's first entrance into the temple. They were not finally fulfilled on that day. These, I think, await His second coming for their complete fulfillment. But in His first visit to the temple in Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus Christ began to fulfill them. This foreshadowing of the second coming in the first is significant because it makes the history here into a prophecy. And the connection between the events here and the events at the second coming are actually by divine design. Bishop Ryle draws attention to an interesting thing. He said, to attend a marriage feast and to cleanse the temple from profanation were among the first acts of the Lord's ministry at His first coming. We've already looked at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. As Christ started His public ministry, His first miracle was in Cana of Galilee. Immediately after that, He left Galilee and came down to Jerusalem. And His first act in coming to Jerusalem was to cleanse the temple from those who profaned it. So Ryle goes on, to purify the visible church and to hold a marriage supper will be among his first acts at his second coming. That's not mere coincidence. It is simply saying again that what we read about the Savior in the first coming is in many ways a prophecy as well as a history connecting the events of the two comings.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.